Tonight, James wants gays to conceal their rebel flags. Mike curses a lot, and we save the fat kids.
This is James from Sherrallpunk.com!
And this is Batman.
You're not fucking Batman.
Okay, it's Couch Potato Mike, but I have a sore throat.
Yeah.
I am the knight.
I had a sneezing fit before we started recording.
Oh, whoop-de-doo.
Yep.
Whoop-de-doo. Man up. Get over it. You and your damn sneezing fits.
You think that? Wipe snot and you'll turn into an 8-year-old girl and scream.
I hate you. How's your week been going? Why don't you tell people what's happened since last time we met? Because it's been like 2 weeks.
It has been. My ankle is still sore, but I can walk on it. It may or may not be broken. I don't care. I'm going to keep walking on it until I can run on it. True story, bro. And
if you want our survival punk, James, to get it x-rayed and go to the doctor, send him money.
But I have Obamacare. Actually, I don't have Obamacare. Actually, I'm a rebel. Actually, I'm going to be fined by the IRS for not having insurance. Suck it.
Well.
Yeah. Everything I own now basically is stored in a tiny shed that I used to live in, and my house will be moved to Mike's homestead, where we will have projects and adventures on Mike's 27 acres.
Yep.
Fun times.
My compound.
We're building a survival compound here. That will be done in a couple days. Yesterday was the 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, all you motherfuckers. I hope you got your freedom on like me and Mike did.
Oh, yeah. We sprayed freedom all over the place.
Yeah. We tore apart a tree stump because, really, what's the best thing to do with tree stumps besides unload magazines of AR-15 freedom into those motherfuckers?
Yeah. And we got to try out the new 30-round magazine for your...
Ruger 10/22.
Yeah, your long rifle.
That was fun.
That was.
I unsuccessfully tried to bump fire my Ruger 10/22 from the hip.
That didn't work.
Didn't work.
Yeah.
So, it was fun times.
Oh my god. First, we didn't have much ammo for the 12 gauge.
Yeah.
But it was funny. Apparently, I didn't have my headgear on properly, because with the first shot, it blew my headphones off.
Yes! Catch Potato Mike, shot the shotgun, and the ear protection flew off his ears and hit the ground. I'm like, seriously? Oh, and then...
I did it wrong.
You shot in my ear. I was, like, helping you, like, unjam the AR-15, and I was right there by it, and then you're just like, ba-blam, and I'm like, ah!
Yeah, you really did.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure you got it working right.
My ears rang for hours, dude. I was ready to punch you in your cock.
Oh, you're like, ah, you son of a bitch!
I know. Wait till now to tell.
Well, yeah, we're recording now. You can't kill me.
Yes, yes. If your men go into the field with guns, chances are
if they don't,
we stayed safe. I mean, we employed all the rules. We shot into a safe location. There was nothing behind us. I didn't allow. Yeah, so it was safe, but you know, still.
Yeah.
Fun.
Now we had two of our dogs follow us down there. Two puppies.
Dumb bastards that they are.
Yeah, well, one of them's a dumb bastard. The other one's a sweet little hoppy thing. But anyway, they followed us down there with the first gunshot that went off. Bam, they were gone.
Yeah.
Like their asses were on fire straight back up the hill.
Yep.
It was a fun day.
It was a fun day. We had a hot dog eating contest. Your 12-year-old son beat us.
Yeah.
We tried to make an adult division and a child division, and the final score was...
We each ate 8, he ate 9.
Yes. Your wife ate 3.
Well, she wasn't competing. Fiona ate 3 as
Your daughter ate 3. And your son ate 9. And your other son ate a bowl of cereal. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're pussies because we stopped. Oh, 8 and 9. That's nothing. No, I'm not made of fucking money. We only had so many hot dogs.
Well, yeah, that was the end of the contest. Although, at 8 hot dogs, I think I was done. I think I tapped out.
I would have eaten at least 1 or 2 more just to put the stank on it, because I can do that sort of thing. Tony, I'm pretty sure, would have eaten a whole fucking pig had I let him.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
That kid's got an appetite.
Well, he's 12, 13. 13 is when the non-eating stomach comes in.
Yeah.
So what do we have coming up on this episode?
Well, coming up on this episode is a bunch of hot button issues. It's going to piss somebody off, and we're looking forward to it.
I hope it pissed everybody off this episode.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm Don Rickling you people.
I mean, damn it. I should start bringing up anti-vaccines, and babies should be fed from titty milk, and just fucking piss off the entire internet. Literally, there will be an angry mob on your doorstep in 2 hours.
Hells yeah.
Kill them!
We got guns, I don't care. Alright, but we're going to be talking about how teachers can lawfully confiscate, keep, or destroy unhealthy lunchbox snacks. We're going to be talking about SCOTUS, which is the Supreme Court of the United States, ruling on same-sex marriage mandates and nationwide concealed carry reciprocity. You're going to be banning this episode, ladies and gentlemen. And when
we're just going to bitch about everything that pisses us off.
Yes. We're also going to be reviewing a couple of things. The KLAX, K-L-A-X, multi-tool axe blade thingamabob.
You're doubling up on that?
Yeah, I'm doubling up. I just want to talk about it for a minute.
Okay. I was like, I'd love to do a whole episode, but yeah.
Oh, I just want to bring it up for a minute. I mean, when we do an episode of Nutrition Punk, we'll be talking about that like full force.
Yeah.
But I want to do a quick review on a documentary that we watched last night called Fed Up. And we're going to, as always, have our celebrity invite. But before we get into any of that lovely, lovely, breathtaking conversation, it's time to throw a few good words toward our sponsors. James?
JMBullion.com. For all your online gold and silver needs to have a monetary hedge against the inflation that the Federal Reserve plans into the monetary system. Their plan is to devalue your money.
Yep.
And silver does not devalue nearly as well,
nope.
Or nearly as badly,
nope.
If at all.
Nope.
I mean, my favorite example is in 1964, if you had a quarter made of 90% silver, you could buy a gallon of gas.
Yep.
If you sold that 1964 silver coin in today's market, you could buy a gallon of gas.
Yep.
In current fake money.
Hmm.
So
silver's worth gas.
Silver, yeah, it's funny the way things work like that. Because stupid inflation. So, jmbullion.com, all free shipping on orders, all blah, blah, blah. Free shipping on all orders over $100.
Is that what that translated into?
jmbullion.com.
What about campingsurvival.com? What about them?
Campingsurvival.com, home of, not home of, but supplier of great things such as the Life Straw, which you can use to filter water all over the world. It's my go-to quick emergency water source in my bug-out bag and go bags.
Yep, stick it straight in the water and just drink.
Yep. And also you can take your Nalgene bottle or whatever, fill it up with water, walk on the go, and then sip from that. So you don't have to stay at a water source.
Yep.
They also have fish antibiotics, which I believe you should have some in your first aid kit and or home medical kit.
I don't get how fish can take those things. They're too big.
No. So, campingsurvival.com for all your bug-in and bug-out necessities.
But what about Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee, James?
Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee is the best coffee in the entire world. I can't wait till they hopefully renew their sponsorship so I could spend that money and buy more coffee, because I need more coffee, because I'm out of coffee.
He needs more coffee, Mai Tai.
I do need more coffee.
You like your Mexicali, don't you?
I do like your Mexicali.
I don't even know what Mexicali means.
It's like a spicy Mexican-y blend. So yeah, their workers are paid a fair wage trade so they can support their families, and all proceeds go to an orphanage in there to give them their medical costs, and Cappuccino Mike is going for a sugar death cookie.
Sugar death!
We'll be talking about that later, my friend.
Yes, we will.
Surgeon General warning. Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee.
But what about Well Food Co., James?
Well Food Co. is awesome. They have things like the Paleo MRE, the Carne Bar, co-developed with Rob Wolf. Good stuff. All your paleo snack-ish foods. If you are desiring a paleo cookie, if you are like, want something better than that sugar death cookie you have?
There's nothing better than my sugar death.
Yeah. Then they have cookies. I I've had them. They are good. They are still sugary, and they are still a treat, and they should not be eaten every day. But they're made from almond flour, and they're damn fucking tasty. Wellfoodco.com.
But what about my balls, James?
You can suck them yourselves.
All right, now it's time to move into our first news story about how teachers could snatch that Snickers bar out of your kids' hands and make them cry like little bitches.
Yeah, this news story comes from thetelegraph.co.uk. So it is a UK story, but and we'll talk about it afterwards.
We're an international podcast, damn it.
We're an international podcast, and I've got some comments to tell you what things are happening here in America.
America!
Teachers can lawfully confiscate, keep, or destroy unhealthy lunchbox snacks, ministers say. Lord Nash, an education minister, said that it would be a good practice if the child in question and a second member of staff were present during the search. Teachers can lawfully confiscate, keep, destroy unhealthy snack foods and school lunchboxes, the government minister has said. Lord Nash, an education minister, why are they saying this again? Must be also warned that the searches might also take place. The peer was answering questions in the House of Lords. This should have been blown up. About the powers that teachers in the state sector have to inspect children's lunch boxes and confiscate items they deem unsuitable. Lord Nash said it was up to school governors whether to ban certain products to promote healthy eating.
If schools wish to adopt such policies, we strongly recommend that they consult parents first and ensure that any adopted policy is clearly communicated to parents and pupils. He said, schools have been common law powers for search pupils with their consent for items. There is nothing to prevent a school from having a policy of inspecting lunchboxes for food items that are prohibited under the school's food policies. A member of staff may confiscate, keep, or destroy such items found as a result of the search if it is reasonable to do so in the circumstances. It would be good practice for the pupil to be present during an inspection and for a second member of staff to be present if any items are to be confiscated.
If authorities in schools are concerned about their legal position, they should seek their own legal advice. Last month, parents at the school of Colchester were outraged when it emerged children had scotch eggs and pepperami confiscated.
Must be a British thing.
Must be some sort of British-y confiscated meat thing. Under health eating policies. See, that's why I read this article. Because their version of healthy is not necessarily the right version of healthy. The row over packed lunches erupted after Cherry Tree Primary School in Colchester banned junk food from packed lunches. Outraged parents said it was unfair as the school's menu offers unhealthy foods, including high-sugar desserts like flapjacks, a.k.a. pancakes, cookies, and mousse.
Two mothers reportedly claimed staff confiscated a nut cereal bar and a packet of 100% fruit chews because of their hidden sugar. The row reignited...
You're broken. Just speak English now. I'm not English-English, but English-English.
The row reignited the debate about the quality of school meals at a time when the NHS chief had warned obesity is the biggest threat to our nation's health. Official figures show that around 20% of children aged 4 and 5 in reception classes are classed as overweight.
Yes. So...
How dare you call me broken? You hurt my feelings.
Yeah. There's sort of a few things I want to pick about this article. Not this article, but this trend so much, what this article points out.
Hey, what the fuck is pepperami?
Yes. It sounds like it's probably tasty, to be honest.
I'm looking that up afterwards.
Yeah. If you're a UK person, tell me what pepperami is. Dan Green, I'm looking at you, buddy.
Fuck yeah.
So, it's their definition of unhealthy, which may mean something that's high fat, which we necessarily don't think is unhealthy. As in, they want you to have low-fat cereal bars or cereal or something like that. So that's my problem. I've heard about this a lot in the United States with people that are paleo, and they send their kids to school with, like, bag lunches because they don't want them eating the shit they serve at school. No bread tangles of meat and shit. No pizza and crap.
Yeah.
So they send them with a healthy paleo lunch. the teachers are confiscating for it being unhealthy.
Yeah, because of it, because of its lack of bread and shit like that.
Yeah, you've got no grains. You can't have your no grains. Yeah, yeah, you can. Yeah. So they're forcing them like, oh, there's nothing but like meat and veggies in here. Here, have a pudding cup. That's more healthy for you.
God, that makes me want to backhand people. Just backhand the hell out of them. Just knock somebody's fucking head off their motherfucking neck.
Yeah. And I mean, did you ever take your lunch to school as a kid?
Fuck yes.
Did you ever have a teacher question you what's in there?
Fuck no.
I've never did. I never had them like, oh, you can't possibly eat. I mean, admittedly, I'm sure it was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with crackers and pudding. I'm sure it wasn't a good, healthy lunch.
Dude, I got sent to school one time with peanut butter and jelly on a hot dog bun.
Oh, there you go, man. Fucking, yeah. So,
But I would have hot dogs, like, wrapped up. My mother would make a fucking hot dog, wrap it in aluminum foil, put it in my bag next to my Fig Newtons.
Yeah.
And my thermos full of milk.
Yeah. I mean, that's all.
And occasionally the cookies and Twinkies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got sent to, dude, I got sent to school with Twinkies until I was in high school.
There you go. I mean,
Nobody ever fucking looked, let's see what's in that lunch bag. Fuck you, fat ass.
Yes.
Let me see what's in your lunch bag. Oh, there's half a baby in there.
Yeah, so, and they're yelling at people for these things being unhealthy, while they themselves offer things as equally unhealthy, but they're forcing the kids to eat their unhealthy food. They're like, you can't have that unhealthy food. We want you to buy or use your free lunch program to use this food.
I mean, we're talking about a goddamn fucking school lunch system that counts pizza and fucking french fries as vegetables.
Yes. I'm sorry, but pizza is not a vegetable. Pizza is not a vegetable. French fries, at least they come from a vegetable, albeit a starchy one that's been highly processed. Pizza is not a vegetable.
No.
But what about the tomato sauce?
That's a fruit. Fuck off. There's literally no fruit on school pizza. On school pizza.
No.
I'm not even sure if the tomato sauce is made from tomatoes.
Probably not.
No.
It's probably made from bananas.
Wasn't there a Doctor Who episode where they're feeding kids toxic waste or something to mind control them?
I don't remember that episode.
Nah, maybe it was some other show. I don't remember.
Feeding kids toxic waste. Well, that's what they're doing any damn way.
They are, yeah.
They're just packaging, is it? Oh my God, this guy from fucking New Jersey that I used to know, he was talking about when he was in school, and this was a Catholic school, mind you. He would see, because he would work in the lunchroom, and he would see the fucking food come in, because they'd have like Hot Dog Tuesdays and stuff.
Yeah.
These mountains full of hot dogs would come in packaged, grade E. Literally on it packaged said, grade E, but edible. You know, you always hear, like, grade E, but edible.
Yeah.
And that's what they were serving these kids.
Yeah.
This, I mean, it was like, this is digestible. Eat it.
Yeah,
You can digest fucking paper.
Yeah. It just says so much, like, one, parents can't even make healthy decisions for their children without the government correcting them.
Oh, the government's got to stick its fucking nose in, no matter what fucking government it is.
Yeah. So, get the fuck out. Screw you. Fuck off.
Fuck your mother.
Eat your scotch eggs. Have you ever had scotch eggs? I like scotch eggs.
Here's a question. If Michael Moore was in school right now, do you think the teachers would confiscate his bowl of dicks?
I probably would not. I bet they would allow him to eat his bowl of dicks.
Well, he needs to, and so does most of the people in the government. We're never going to be able to fly again. You know that, right?
I'm sure we're on every no-fly list. Thanks, Ralph.
Thanks, Ralph.
Pepperami. Google says it's a real thing.
Huh. Let's see. Let's Pepperami.
Is a pork sausage snack manufactured in Unilever in Germany.
Okay, from the looks of it.
It's a Slim Jim.
It's a Slim Jim.
Yeah, it's a Slim Jim.
Pepperami is the same as a Slim Jim. Okay, Google, shut the fuck up.
Just close that window.
Yeah, okay, Google started Blop. Yeah, yep. Any fucking way. What's coming up next? Oh, yeah, we're going to be talking about scrotums. I'm sorry, SCOTUS.
All right, so as I'm sure every goddamn person that listens to the show knows...
Oh, shit, I was right.
The Supreme Court of the United States of America mandated that gay marriage is now legal across all 50 states.
Oh, sorry, not America. It's America.
Yeah. Which, you know, now everyone I know on Facebook just about has, like, rainbow-colored faces, which turned out to be a social experiment on Facebook's part to see who would change their picture in the first place.
Surprisingly enough, Schwarzenegger was, like, one of the first people to jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly enough, George Takei is also on that bandwagon.
Yeah. Yeah, I did not change my picture because I'm not changing my picture.
Well, you know what?
I may change it to the General Lee.
And a lot of people are going to fucking disagree with me. A lot of people that I know, a lot of people that I love are going to disagree with me. I think it's just about fucking time that they allow gay people to get married everywhere. I've always been a supporter of gay marriage. I've known a lot of really good gay people that just want the same fucking rights as everybody else. And now the Supreme Court says that they have those rights.
Yes. And we think by proxy we may be getting more rights. So
let's just jump right into this. SCOTUS ruling on same-sex marriage mandates nationwide concealed carry reciprocity. Yes. James?
If you are following the various media outlets this morning, and this article is a couple of days old, June 26th, today is July 5th.
That's more than a couple.
You are probably... Oh, my broke ankle just popped. That was weird and amazing. You are probably aware that the U.S. Supreme Court has just extended gay marriage to all 50 states.
All 50 states.
The Supreme Court ruled Friday that same-sex couples have a right to marry nationwide in a historic decision that invalidates gay marriage bans in more than a dozen states.
Fuck you, more than a dozen states.
Gay and lesbian couples have already can marry in 36 states and the District of Columbia. The court's ruling on Friday means that the remaining 14 states in the South and Midwest will have to stop enforcing their bans on same-sex marriage.
Up yours.
The outcome is the culmination of 2 decades of Supreme Court litigation over marriage and gay rights, generally. You can pursue the full ruling here, but the meat of the activist court overlong decision hinges on a single paragraph.
B. The 14th Amendment requires a state to license marriage between two people of the same sex. PP 10 through 27. 1. The fundamental liberties protected by the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause extend to certain personal choices central to individual dignity and autonomy, including intimate choices defining personal identity and beliefs. C.E.G. Eisenstadt v. This court used Section 1 and 14th Amendment to justify their argument, which reads a bunch of shit.
Which I will read. Amendment XIV, Section 1. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any laws which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of each citizen of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. It was very important that we read that part. By using the Constitution in such a manner, the court argues that the Due Process Clause extends certain personal choices central to individual dignity and autonomy. Accepted in a majority of states across the state lines are a handful of states that still ban the practice. The vast majority of states are shall issue on the matter of issuing concealed carry permits and enjoy reciprocity with a large number of other states.
My North Carolina concealed carry permit, for example, was recognized yesterday as being valid in 36 states, which just so happened to be the number of states in which gay marriage was legal yesterday. But 14 states did not recognize my concealed carry permit yesterday. Today they must. Using the same due process clause argument as the Supreme Court was just applied to gay marriage, my concealed carry permit must now be recognized as valid in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. I'll be driving through...
Suck it.
Thank you. I'll be driving through the District of Columbia, Maryland, New Jersey, and New York in several weeks, places that until yesterday I did not have a legal right to concealed carry. As of today, with this decision, it would seem that these states and the district must honor my concealed carry permit or violate my constitutional rights under the 14th and 2nd goddamn amendments. God bless America!
Yes. This line of thinking, rightly so, was jumped upon right after this ruling.
You called it, dude. You really fucking called it. And she called it. You both called it. You both had predictions about what would happen next after this.
Yeah, your wife called polygamy, that people would use that because that's their right.
And you called concealed carry, and you were both fucking dead on the damn money.
Yeah.
Way to go, survival punk. Way to go, Mike's wife.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to see where this goes. Because this is going to be a big issue, and this is going to be forced, and someone has to set precedent on this. And I don't know if anyone started doing it yet, but that's the logical outcome of this. Gays can get married across every state now. My concealed carry permit now works all across America.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm waiting to see this brought up between the Supreme Court to have them... at this point, they'd have no choice but to say yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly... that it has to be.
If they said no, they'd be stepping on their own fucking toes at this point.
They'd be stepping on their own toes, and they'd be shooting themselves, and it would probably spark off a really... fucking big issue.
And right now, this country is just set and primed for fucking Civil War II.
Which is something that I kind of want to talk about in the main topic of the show today.
Oh, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. That was just a harbinger.
Yes. Thank you, Silver Surfer. As much as this is being shared around and us doing our part of covering this news story, and several other people covering and sharing this news story... share on Facebook, 88,000 people have done that.
Sweet.
Someone's going to have to talk about this. It's going to have to be brought up legally. Mm-hmm. People are going to start... there are several hundred thousand legal gun owners in the U.S., and a good portion of those are concealed carry permit holders. They literally, if we march, they literally could not stop us. If we went driving a march through New Jersey and New York and Washington, D.C., they couldn't do a damn thing.
Well, they could call out the National Guard.
Against legally moving United States citizens within their constitutional rights?
They've done it before.
I have to play devil's advocate
sometimes.
Right, and if they did... that would be Civil War too.
Yeah. All it takes is one stupid act to create a hell of a lot of fucking chaos.
Yeah. So.
Not the good chaos either.
No, and they know that. They know damn good and well.
This is something we should talk about on the show sometime. Look at that question. Do you think the government has the right to ban certain types of ammo?
Yeah, they're trying to ban, I think, green tip NATO ammo.
What's green tip NATO ammo?
Not even armor piercing. It's just, instead of being 223, it's 556 green tip NATO ammo.
That doesn't tell me a damn thing.
No, it has a green pointed tip on it.
Technically,
I think the bullet itself is a bit heavier than the 223 version of it.
So it would have more punch?
Yeah, it slaps harder.
I figured with the green tip, they'd like explode or something.
Nope. Nothing? No.
They don't burn?
Yeah, people call it armor piercing, and they do a better job of punching stuff. But they're not true armor piercing.
No, really?
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having some stocked up just for, the apocalypse or whatever. Yeah. They're good. They're good ammo.
Yeah. One can never have enough bullets for the apocalypse.
No. All right,
this is coming from a couple of genuine violent hippies.
Main topic of the motherfucking day. Are we doing the main topic or are we doing something else? Main topic.
Nope. Ban this episode.
Ban this episode.
Ban this episode, bitches.
I'm so annoyed. I don't know if all of you readers and listeners are aware that there's all sorts of hoopla about the flag at the moment. Yep, the Confederate battle flag.
Get ready to have your Cheerios pissed in.
Yeah. And it's... so, people are calling because... some jackass kid shot up a black church, which now I think in the past 10 days there have been 15 black church burn downs, fires, cases of arson.
None of which would have happened if they hadn't started this whole fucking thing of trying to start a goddamn race war. I'm sorry, but I have seen so many other hate crimes perpetrated, none of which have caused anybody to take down their fucking rebel flags. Now all of a sudden this happens, and oh god, now we've got to ban the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, and several vendors are pulling everything with Confederate flag. Walmart, eBay, Amazon, blah, blah. If Amazon has not banned them, I'm going to find someone on Amazon selling Confederate flags and put a link in the show note so I can make $1 billion.
You know what? You know what kills me? The white supremacist groups out there, your skinheads, your Klan and all that, they don't even fly. They have their own flags.
And I've seen KKK march with just the American flag.
Yes.
I've not ever seen them walk around with the Confederate flag, really. It's always the American flag.
No, you know who I see flying Confederate flags? Proud Southerners.
Yeah.
People that are proud of their Southern heritage. Not fucking hate mongers. No. Not racists and bigots. I mean, some of them might be racist and bigots, but they're flying it because, goddammit, this is the South.
Yeah.
The South's going to rise again doesn't mean that we're going to enslave all the black people again. It just means that we're proud of our damn Southern heritage. The Confederate flag is a symbol of our Southern heritage. It's a symbol of Southern pride. I mean, fuck, people from New England are proud of themselves. People from Texas are uber proud that they're from Texas. Why can't we be proud that we're from the fucking South?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it. I've been indifferent to the Confederate flag my entire life. Growing up in and around Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
The heart of the South, really.
It's just there.
You know, you always had neighbors and friends around you that would have it. Fuck, day before yesterday, when we went to Nashville, how many Confederate flags on the back of pickup trucks did we pass?
Oh my god, dude, since this whole thing started, I've been seeing so many fucking, like, pickup trucks with the rebel flag, which is what I prefer to call it. Most people call it the rebel flag, they don't call it the Confederate flag, which just shows you the mindset that goes behind it. We're rebels. We stand up to what's not right.
Yeah, I mean...
But I mean, I've seen so many flying off the back of pickup trucks. Hell, last night... At the fireworks display that we were going to go see, I saw this very proud Southern woman walking around, basically wearing a rebel flag like a damn cape.
Not even just her. There were several people doing that.
And she was...
And shirts and everything.
And guess what? You know what else I saw at that fireworks display? Black people. And guess what? They were not getting lynched.
Yeah.
And there was people wearing the rebel flag all over the place. Guess what? None of them were there going after the black people.
No.
No, you know why? Because it's not a symbol of fucking racism.
No.
Fucking idiots.
No, yeah, I...
Country's full of goddamn whiny give-up pussies.
Yeah. They want to ban everything. It's, fucking... North Carolina's trying to remove the flag from the Capitol building. Other people, I
think that's bullshit. But, I mean, if they fucking want to pussy out and fucking do it...
Yeah. I've heard other people say that if they try to remove the Confederate battle flag from the Capitol, the North Carolina will secede from the nation. Fuck you.
Oh, get a load of this shit. All right, it's carried well beyond the fucking well beyond the rebel flag. A person that I work with lives in I can never think of the name of these things. One of those communities that's like a community within itself. It was built to be a neighborhood.
Sublet?
No, not a sublet.
I said it the other day. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. You said it the other day, and now I can't think of it.
Subdivision.
Thank you. Subdivision. Lives in a subdivision. The name of the subdivision is Forest Crossing. Forest is spelled F-O-R-R-E-S-T.
Yeah. So...
And now,
Bedford Forest.
And now, all these motherfuckers are trying to get them to change the name of that. Fucking got a petition going to have the name of their subdivision changed. It has nothing to do with racism. It's actually like on part of the river where that part of the Confederate Army crossed the river at, which is why it was called the Forest Crossing.
It's like you can't ban history.
You can't.
I mean, it's the same people that are like all up. They got their fucking vaginas all in a wad because of Columbus Day. People literally want to change it to like Native American Day. Why can't the Native Americans have their own day and Christopher Columbus have his own goddamn day?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of days out there.
There's a day for everything.
Hell, the month of August doesn't even have any holidays in it.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I mean, Jesus Christ, free up one of those, motherfucker. You don't have to get... What the fuck did Columbus ever actually do to the Native Americans? Not a goddamn thing. He landed in the Indies, for God's sakes. He didn't even touch North America proper.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just... People are just fucking pussies. And that's, hold on, counterpoint to the band's episode is because there's a fucking generation of pussies that are raising pussies that are going to raise pussier pussies.
Yeah, the pussification of America. It's like pussyocracy.
Yeah, I literally remember falling as a kid and crying. My mom's like, oh, you want something to cry about? Oh, shit, never mind. That bruise in my leg, not that bad. Not that bad, because the switch is going to hurt a lot damn worse.
Oh, but you can't hit your kids with a switch or a belt or anything like that, because that's child abuse.
Can't let them go roam outside.
You can't spank them more than 3 licks. That's all child abuse. You can't let them go outside. Somebody might snatch them.
Can we make your land? Can we cede from the nation?
I wish I could.
Yes. This is Survival Punkonia.
I was going to go with something with a little bit more kick to it. Couch Potatoopolis.
I'm going to cede from your nation and make my own nation. We'll be friends, though. Friendly trading.
You secede from Couch Potatoopolis, and I will declare war on Survival Punkonia.
I have all the guns.
You son of a bitch, I'll throw stale bread at you.
Oh my god.
I will take you on Contra Republic style.
I'm not the Contra Republic, I'll shoot back.
I talked to somebody from the Key West the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah, just a weird chance meeting. Just talking about it. They knew all about the Conk Republic. They thought it was a big... They just considered it a big fucking joke.
Weird.
But they were living there during that time.
Yeah,
Yeah, Key West, the lowest point in the continental United States, the most southern point in the continental United States, not counting Hawaii. Yeah, they tried to secede from the nation at one point. Tiny little thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
I actually might want
to
do...
I get a kick out of any state that tries to secede from the Union. I really do. Because that means, like, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to go do what we want to do now. Because your fucking rules and regulations suck ass.
Yeah. Which, for God's sake, we've got that right. We should be able to do that.
I mean, in hell, the way it's fucking going, with the federal government sticking their snoot in everywhere it fucking doesn't belong, we're not going to end up with the United States of America. We're going to end up with 50 countries living in relatively close quarters to each other.
I actually think that'll probably be the best solution.
What, for us to all split up into different countries?
Yes. Well, I mean, if states got back their true sovereignty, where it really was a republic... And not this monster we've created.
Yep.
I mean, because before, the states were supposed to be truly unique and different and sort of mildly governed by the federal government. So that, like, if your state turned to be fucking stupid, oh, I'm going to move next door to the other state where they're not fucking stupid. Now it's... I mean, I agree that gay marriage should be legal. Actually... Furthermore, I agree that the government shouldn't be in marriage in the first damn place, so it shouldn't be a fucking issue. But if you are so hung up on it that you think that God is going to smite us all because gays are married, then you should be able to move to a state that doesn't allow it. If a bunch of you people want to all live in the state, that's fine. And a bunch of gays want to live in a state, that's fine. Everyone should be able to move and not be...
We're arguing both sides of the argument now.
I am. My point is, I don't like the fact that the federal government has so much control that they're overriding state sovereignty, which makes it less like a republic and more like one giant monster. I mean, really, I like the states to be able to have their control. I mean, really, the federal government right now could just be like, you know what? The Supreme Court's like, you know what? It's unconstitutional to smoke weed and override the progress we've made on weed laws.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they did. They did that with gay marriage. Like, I'm happy that there is marriage equality, even though I don't think there should be marriage laws. But the sick, twisted side effect of that is the Supreme Court threw away state sovereignty with that, setting precedent and overriding state laws. Which is scary as shit.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of states making really good rules that fly counterposed to the United States government.
Well,
weed laws. People that have made state laws, like I think Montana, that say we refuse to abide by any federal law that overrules the Second Amendment rights. As in, if they ban if they ban guns, Montana's like, nope, doesn't apply to us, bitches. So the Supreme Court could overrule that nationwide, just like they did here.
Yeah, and according to the federal government, there's no such thing as legal marijuana. Federally, marijuana is illegal across the board.
Mm-hmm.
States have legalized and decriminalized it.
Right.
Which means that the federal government could turn around and be like, nope. You now have to shut down all your dispensaries.
The DEA still busts people for marijuana in places like California. They'll go into repositories and just bust them. They're like, hey, Ted, we're here to bust you. God damn it again, guys. Yep, it's that time. It's Tuesday, guys. And then he'll just reopen the next day because it's legal there, but the DEA is bored and wants money.
I wonder if there's been any busts in, like, Colorado and shit like that since this whole thing hit.
I
think we would have heard about it.
The local police are on board with Colorado state law, so they're not working with the DEA.
Yeah, that's the thing. When federal agencies come in, they have to get help from the local law enforcement agencies, and if they're not willing to help, then they're kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Because believe it or not, there's not that many DEA agents. There's not that many ATF agents.
No.
They have to have help from the local authorities.
Yep. Waco wouldn't have happened without local authorities.
No.
Waco, Texas?
Mm-hmm. I mean, and yes, it was a local authority's choice to hand over complete control of cooperation to the ATF.
That whole thing was a debacle, too.
Oh, God. Well, no, I'm kind of glad that happened, because I don't believe in little girls being forced into marrying their cousins.
I watched a documentary on that. It was a lot more, and the government really... really did bad on that.
Am I confusing Koresh with that other guy?
I think you are.
With the Mormons hate.
I don't know.
But he was also in Texas. Ah, fuck them all.
Oh my God.
So many weird things happen in Texas.
Basically, the moral of this episode is stop being a pussy. Stop this political correctness bullshit.
Fly
the fuck up.
Fly your fucking flag, be it the rebel stars and bars, or be it a fucking rainbow.
Yeah.
You have the goddamn right to do that. And fuck anybody that says you fucking don't. Quit fucking giving up. This country was not built on fucking people that fucking gave up.
Yeah.
This country exists because we didn't give up. Because we threw their goddamn tea into the fucking harbor. This country exists because at one point it was made of the kind of people that were willing to stand up and say, no, fuck you, we're going to do what we want to fucking do. There's not a goddamn thing you can do about it. And guess what? If you do show up, we got more guns than you bitches, and we got nothing to lose.
So, smoke a bowl, clean your guns, fly your flag, and wish that gay couple that got married a happy honeymoon.
Fuck yeah.
So next, the gadget punk is...
And tell Michael Moore to eat a bowl of dicks. I'm still pissed at him.
Yeah. We've got an item to talk about.
Yes.
It's not even something I've tested, but I think it's cool as shit,
and
I want one to test.
From Klecker Tools, who needs to send us one of these to test.
Yeah. It's the Klax, KLAX, and I'll have a link to the, I believe, fully funded, completed now Kickstarter where you can order one. It looks a little expensive. Maybe pricing will come down. It's basically an axe head multi-tool that fits on any stick you can find.
Right. That way you don't have to worry about carrying around a full axe with you. You don't have to worry about the handle part. You can fucking find a handle.
Yeah. It just slips on. It has a tensioning system there to tighten it down. And it's got... I mean, it looks like those are hex bolt holes cut out in it.
Yeah, so those are straight up. You can use that to fucking... as a wrench? Several sizes of wrench?
I believe it's a... And I wish there was a link to all the stuff it did. It looks like there's a box... Not a box cutter. Either a ball opener or seatbelt cutter on it. Possibly both. It's possibly both.
Now, on the other end...
Hold on. So, the price is $160, which I...
Let me see. Yeah, $160. Sorry, didn't mean to step on your toes.
Which I think is a little overpriced.
But it includes stainless steel axe blade, built-in Ulu knife blades, hammerhead, gut hook, hex wrench set, 1/4 bit dive socket, bottle opener, lanyard hole, carabiner, ruler, and Klax clamping system.
Yeah.
I saw there's the carabiner part right up there.
Yeah, carabiner. That's definitely going to cut stuff right there. That gut hook / possibly seatbelt cutter.
And any fucking prepper or survivalist or hell, just fucking all-out camper knows the less, I mean, the more things you can have something do, the better. That's the less space it's taking up in your gear.
I like it. I do think at $160 is a little overpriced, considering you can get some really nice hand-forged axes for that price. But I want one to play with, and then I'll make my decision.
It provides 10 handy tools into an easy-carry stainless steel package.
Yeah.
Heat-treated for rugged outdoor use with a Klax handle clamp, the Lumberjack is ready for the great outdoors. Well, if it's 10 tools, it's basically $16 a tool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is overpriced on some things, underpriced on others.
Yeah. So all in all, I want one to test. And I think it's worth checking out. I'll have a link in the show notes. Maybe I'll hit them up and see if they'll send me one for testing, which they may actually ask for back. I don't know. But the Klax, check it out.
Yes. And while we're... Oh, yes. And incidentally, this segment of the show, I named it in the first place Gadget Punk, and I've renamed it. Because it's not always a gadget. Sometimes it's a book. Sometimes it's a movie. Sometimes it's various thingies. So that's why this segment is now called Survival Thingy.
Yeah. Although I like Gadget Punk.
I know you like Gadget Punk.
I'm going to make Gadget Punk his own podcast.
What? Oh, for the love of Christ.
This week on the Gadget Punk podcast.
All right.
Anyway.
But I did want to touch on one other thing in our Survival Thingy segment. It's this documentary that I mentioned earlier called Fed Up.
Yeah. Which you've been trying to get me to watch for at least a little while.
Yeah. Now, it is, you know, basically it's a documentary about the childhood obesity problem in this country.
Yeah.
And you've watched many documentaries about health and nutrition on Netflix. So you said...
Usually whenever one pops up, I'll watch it and usually give it a little bit of time at least. Yeah. Some of them I've been so furious with, I've cut off fairly early on.
But you said this is the first time you've ever watched a documentary where you agreed with every fucking thing they said.
Just about. There are some government things I disagreed with, but nutrition-wise, I thought they were spot on. They had some good. They had some good guests.
Yeah, and we're going to go into that more full, you know, in better detail on hopefully what's going to be the first episode of the Nutrition Punk podcast.
Yeah.
But now I just wanted to let everybody know you need to watch this, especially if you have children out there, especially those struggling with weight problems. It killed me the stuff that these parents thought they were doing right.
One lady, what was it? She said. The cereal was their go-to food because it was low fat.
Because most cereals are naturally low in fat, so that was their go-to thing to feed the kids was cereal.
Yeah.
Which most of you out there who listen to our show are now like pounding your head into a wall.
Yeah.
Oh, and the other woman, it said that, you know, they said she had this son who's struggling with fucking weight loss, getting nowhere on it. She's like, oh, instead of the regular Hot Pockets, we make sure that we only have the Lean Pockets.
It's, yeah, it's like low-fat crack or something. Like, just, oh, instead of the high-fat crack, we'll get to the low-fat crack.
Just remember one thing, folks. Half the fat means twice the sugar.
It does. And I've said that to Mike for years. And I think it's one of those things in one ear, out the other. He's like, yeah, low
No, fat. No, I hear it. I absorb it.
Yeah. And then they literally showed that on the document. There was like a thing of like, looked like ranch dressing or something.
Yeah, it was like salad dressing. It's like, now with half the fat, scratch that off. Now with twice the sugar.
Yeah. And every time I, like, just for fun, when I walk around grocery stores, if I see like reduced fat, low fat, no fat, I'll look on the back and usually one of the first two ingredients is some form of sugar. And the sugar content is out of control.
Oh, there is one thing I want people to look at. Look at your ingredients on there. You know how it always has that list of, you know, it has this many grams of saturated fat, this many grams of whatever, and it'll have the percentage of the daily value.
Yeah.
Notice that sugar never has a percentage on it. Ever.
Yeah. I can't remember if they tried to say that the government set the daily percentage of sugar at 25% of your calories, or if they wanted to and they failed.
Well, yeah, the food corporations were trying to get it to like fucking that 25% of your daily calorie intake should be directly from sugar.
Yeah, I would say
these are the people.
Maybe 1%?
These maybe? Are the people that are controlling what goes into your kids' mouths. What goes into your mouth. They're wanting you to eat more sugar. They're wanting people to be fat. Why? Because they're wanting to sell more fucking non-food.
Yeah.
There are thousands and thousands of fucking items in every fucking grocery store out there that are technically not food, but we're eating them.
Yeah. I kind of saw your eyes widen a little bit when on a couple things. When they talked about how that sugar overrides the sense in your brain that tells you you're full to make you eat more. Therefore, that's why so much sugar is added to foods that shouldn't have sugar naturally, so you'll eat more of it.
It doesn't let you... It makes you think you're not full.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think your eyes really lit up about, that I've known, and I think I've mentioned to you a while, is that sugar has been scientifically proven to be more addictive than cocaine and heroin.
Yeah, see, I knew that sugar and cocaine activate the same centers in your brain.
Yes.
I had no fucking idea how much more addictive than cocaine sugar actually is. They did this test with lab rats, where they would give them cocaine, and they would give them sugar water, and 40 out of the 48 fucking lab rats would always go straight to the fucking sugar water, and then when the sugar water was taken away from them, they would start going through the DTs and withdrawals.
Yeah. I mean... I've had so many times people, like, when I try to get people on low-carb diets, they'll literally give me excuses like, well, I can't go on a low-carb because I have this and that, and I can't fucking quit pasta. I can't quit this. You know, it's, no, you're just an addict. You just give me addict things.
Yeah.
It's not,
and you know what?
You're not a fucking unique snowflake, motherfucker. You are a human. You can quit.
But I am going to tell you people out there one thing. The condition that you got in up until this point, honestly, there's a chunk of it that is not your fucking fault because you were indoctrinated in this shit. These fucking companies wanted you to eat this shit, and by adding fucking labels on there like reduced fat, no fat, and all this shit, they made you think that you were making the fucking heart healthy fucking choices. What you did up until now is partially not your fault. But if you're listening to this, you have the fucking knowledge. You've got the fucking information in your fucking head. So now everything that happens after this point is your fucking fault. It's my fucking fault that during this goddamn podcast, I've eaten cookies and drank a fucking Pepsi. I mean, yeah, you can choose to be a fucking fat ass. That is your God-given right to do it. But if you want to live to see your fucking grandkids graduate from fucking high school, goddamn switch to paleo. Shit.
Yeah, I read an article recently, shared from Rob Wolf, not written by Rob Wolf, and it was like, is being obese really a choice? And I both agreed and disagreed with it. And the article pointed out something, like, at first, because I started reading this article thinking, no, just what you said, and what I usually believe is that being obese is a choice. You choose that cookie. You choose that Coke. Yes, it's addictive, but you still choose it. And the article pointed out, a lot of these things are ingrained in you. I mean, like I said, you know, I don't believe that diabetes is truly hereditary. It's your parents feed you the way that they eat. So if they have diabetes and you eat the way that they eat, you get diabetes.
And you're going to grow up eating the way that they eat because that's what you know.
Yeah.
Those are the recipes that you'll have learned.
Yes.
If it's a recipe at all, unless it's just a fucking can opener.
Yeah. Or McDonald's, you know, so they're saying these kids were born disadvantaged to be obese because of the traits inherited from their parents. And I was like, it's just like so many things that you inherit from your parents that you do just because your parents told you to do it. Why do you go to church? Oh, my mom told me to go to church, so I always go to church. Why are you a Baptist over an Episcopal? Well, my mom was an Episcopal. My dad was an Episcopal.
I was raised Catholic. I was raised Baptist.
Yeah. Why do you always cut the tip off the roast? Well, because mom did. Because grandma did. Grandma. Well, it wouldn't fit in the pan I had, so I had to cut the tip off.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's...
You're not looking for the details. You're only looking at the headlines.
Yeah. So, I agree with that article that I read and disagree with it. It's still your choice, but it's damn hard to overcome your upbringing.
Yeah.
I mean, that the reason that I'm still struggling with the soda addiction is because it was in my bottle. I've drank it my entire life.
Yeah, you were telling me a story about how your mother mixed your formula with fucking Pepsi when you were a baby.
Yeah, I mean, I was drinking Pepsi when I was an infant. You know, not her fault. She didn't know any better.
Believe it or not, dude, believe it or not, and I'm not sure if I've ever actually shared this with you or with our lovely producer over there. I really did not start drinking fucking water on a very regular basis until I had a driver's license. I mean, I thought I didn't like water. My mother would go to the store, she'd always buy Pepsis and caffeine-free Pepsis, because for some reason I like caffeine-free Pepsis more, the taste, I don't know. But anyway, we never had bottled water in our house. I mean, we had a water cooler in our house for like fucking a month, one time when I was a kid, because we got a free home trial, and then she sent it back as soon as blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But even then, I never touched the stuff because I didn't think I liked water. Because I grew up in a house where I was told, no, you'll like this better.
Which is supremely damaging to kids.
I mean, I love my mother and everything, but goddamn, she knew what I liked and didn't like, and I believed her. Why? Because she's my mother.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking about that. I was like, I'm not sure when I really started drinking water, but I was an adult.
Yeah, I was an adult, and I started drinking water hard and heavy.
Like, as a kid, we had sodas, and we had Kool-Aid. Although, I've always had my slight distaste for sugar. My brothers hated me because, you know, when you make Kool-Aid, it's like, what is it, a gallon of water, the Kool-Aid packet, and one cup of sugar. I always did 3/4 of a cup of sugar. I would do less sugar.
Right.
And they're like, oh, it tastes horrible, James. Worst day ever. And that's just the way I mean, it's still a shit ton of sugar, but
yeah.
I didn't like it as sweet as them. Oh, I think my brother David, who like lost all his teeth from sugar eating them up, I think sometimes he went over the cup. He was like, a cup and meh, smidge to grow on.
Oh my God. Well, it's like the way my mother used to make her sweet tea. I mean, until that pitcher was over the halfway full port, it was syrup. I mean, literally, you could dip your spoon in and it would drip off slowly. I mean, when the pitcher was full, it didn't look like syrup anymore, but it was still teeth grindingly sweet.
I hate that, dude. I've actually acquired the taste for unsweetened tea.
I've never acquired the taste for unsweetened tea. I have to have some, at least an artificial sweetener in there, and usually at that point I'll just be like, you know, fuck it, ice water, please.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You are sugar addicted.
Well, it's weird, though. It's weird. I can't stand diet drinks. I can't stand artificial sweetener. I just can't. It never leaves a good taste in my mouth. I've tried everything. I've tried Splenda. I've tried Equal. I've tried Sweet and Low. I've tried all of them. I've tried fucking Stevia. I've tried all of them. And frankly, I say fucking on diet drinks, I'll just drink water, which has no sugar in it.
Which is the better thing to do. I about a decade ago, I switched from regular sodas to diet sodas and got hooked on them as well.
Yeah, and that's a whole new set of bullshit that people fucking give to you all the time. But goddamn it, it's your one vice.
Yeah, and I mean, I've cut down. I'm drinking like maybe one diet soda a week now.
Well, that's, you're drinking a lot of seltzer water lately.
I like the bubbles.
You dig the bubbles?
Yeah, and some seltzer water is actually good for you. I mean, it has like stuff that's missing from your diet, like sulfates, which are good for you. In moderation, because people don't get enough of them.
You sound so defensive right now.
Stop judging me! Yeah, so I actually really enjoyed this Fed Up documentary. You can find it on Netflix. I love the title. There's people that like they interviewed for the documentary that literally were just like, I don't have an answer.
Oh my God.
I'm not talking to you.
You will fucking love it when they actually talk to the people from the big food corporations. Especially the bitch with the eyebrows. And if you watch the documentary, you will know who I'm talking about instantly.
Yep, the bitch with the eyebrows.
Just listen to her and listen to this one doctor and their double talk.
Yeah.
How they completely fucking answer a question repeatedly by not answering the question.
Yeah.
And I love how the interviewers call them out on their shit.
You're double talking me, bitch. Stop it.
You're avoiding my question. And they just don't know what the fuck to say. I mean, hell, that one doctor was so damn dumbfounded, he her twice, and was like, hold on, I just gotta, let me start over, I need to collect my thoughts. And then he sat there like a statue. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah, his mind is broken.
He's like, oh, they're not gonna let me get away with this. Hold on, I gotta collect my thoughts, hold on.
Yeah, and then he just sat, like, they left the camera on him for an uncomfortable amount of time. It's like...
They're like, oh, did his batteries die? What the fuck happened?
Yeah. And that one bitch with the crazy eyebrows, right before the interview cut off her, because they left it on her for an uncomfortable amount of time, too, her eyes started to go Forrest Whitaker. She was like, I don't know.
They were asking her a yes or no question. Is your company actually going to be taking...
Pulling products
from the shelves. She managed to answer that three times without answering it once.
Yes or no, are you pulling products?
And the last thing you heard is the interviewer, I feel that you're avoiding my question. And then she just sits there and twitches.
Yeah, because what was it, Michelle Obama's plan to remove 1.7 trillion calories from the market?
And it ends up being like fucking 14 calories a day.
14 calories a day from a kid, yeah.
With her fucking Let's Move program or whatever it was.
Yeah, and they were like, Michelle Obama was like, I'm not trying to vilify stuff. No, you need to goddamn vilify sugar.
Yes, it needs to be demonized. These fucking companies need to pay for what they're doing to our fucking youth. Yeah. I mean, marketing, so much of it goes straight at children.
Yeah.
You know, I said we were going to talk about this a little bit. It's hard not to fucking just go on the rant.
I could talk about nutrition all day long.
I know. I think you've been suffering from a nutrition talk deficit.
Yeah.
Because we removed Nutrition Puck from this show because we're supposed to be starting a Nutrition Puck podcast. So.
Which I need to get up and running.
All right. But, no, watch the documentary. We'll talk about this more later. But now it is time for the Couch Potato Celebrity Invite of the Week. And this week I'm inviting a Mr. Gary Taubes, T-A-U-B-E-S.
Who is in the Fed Up documentary. Yes. And... I love Gary Taubes. He's amazing.
Yes, and he's written, what was the name of that book?
Wheat Belly, and I think he wrote a follow-up that was not as big as three Bibles put together.
Yeah, now this is a motherfucker that knows a thing or two about fucking nutrition and what should be going into us and what should definitely not be going into us and our children's mouths.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's definitely very anti-carb, because So carbs aren't the evil answer, but removing carbs fixes a lot of the problems, really. And whereas I believe, like, as a sedentary, metabolically challenged an adult, you should probably eliminate carbs a lot. As a child, I think you do need some safe carbs in your body, like a fairly large amount, because you're burning through calories. You know what? Hold on. I got a side note, but I want to finish that. Are you trying to Harry Carry yourself?
I sweat. I'm a fat bastard, and I sweat a lot.
Yes. Kids, things like some of the people in the paleo industry are now trying to move back to white potatoes in addition to sweet potatoes and white rice.
White rice in paleo?
And in moderation, in certain ways, white rice to make up for the lack of carbs for very active people turned out to be one of the safer things.
I have heard.
And I can see how children could benefit from potatoes and rice for their energy expenditure. And I was going to say, when you eat a carb-heavy diet, it does trick that thing to make you more hungry, and you turn into a zombie where all you can think about is food all the time. So I'm trying to wonder, how much of that do kids suffer that eat high-sugar diets compared to really being hungry? Are they hungry because they're eating sugar and their brain's telling them they need to eat more?
Yes.
Or is it just because they do require more calories, but I wonder what the divide is there between, like, how much of that is sugar telling you you're hungry, and how much of that is you're growing, your body's putting on inches and height and weight and developing your brain, and it needs extra energy. I'm sure there's a balance point in there.
But anyway, Gary Taubes knows more about this than we do. Not much, from what I can tell, but I would love to have him on the show. So Gary, you have an open door, open-ended invite to come on our show, or our other show, Nutrition Punk. When we start fucking recording that.
Yeah.
At any given time. Just contact us, james@survivalpunk.com, which is also a great place to go if you want to sell stuff on our shows.
That is right. I take all sorts of things, including a clax. I will take a clax for advertisement. I will take a bacon. I will not take cookies. Suck off. But I will take lots of things, including money, including Bitcoin, including all sorts of barter of all kinds. James@SurvivalPunk.com. Especially if you're JMBullion.com. I need to talk to you.
Yeah, call us JM.
Call us Jim.
And just always remember, the Survival Punk Army wants you. Come join something that's greater than yourself.
Right. For our 1 year anniversary of the Survival Punk Army. As of like yesterday, I launched it a year ago.
Really?
Yep.
1 year anniversary of the Survival Punk Army.
Yep.
Where the hell have you people been? Come on! The Survival Punk Army wants you!
Yes. And, hold on quick. Producer Mike's wife, when's the exact date that our friends are getting here?
They should be here around the 18th or 19th.
Around the 18th or 19th?
What day is that?
Saturday and Sunday. They're leaving on the 17th.
These are the people from the Crooked Tree Farms who we've interviewed on our show before.
Is it the 18th? That's
Saturday.
They don't stop and look around and sell stuff before they
get. But they're going to try.
July 17th this year until July 19th. Survival Punk Gathering. It's on. Show up. Sign a waiver. Camp out. Build huts. Trap fish. We're building a sweat lodge. We're going to go on a spirit trip. Shit's going to get real, y'all.
Bring your own peyote.
Cut my grass.
bring your scythe, you paleo people, so we can cut the grass.
And I'm inviting all plumbers.
Oh, my God.
And on that bombshell, it's time for us to end.
Yeah.
So, on behalf of the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James, Sick One Burnett.
And remember, half the fat means twice the sugar.
DIY to build huts in the field, Survival Punk Gathering wants you! Guys.